Who's hearing you talk about Jesus? Who's overhearing you share what Jesus has done in his person, in his power, in his plan, in his program, in his provision? Who is it that's hearing you?
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller, and glad that you're with us. And Pastor, unfortunately, I'm afraid for many, they may have to answer that question if they're going to be real honest about it. Not very many people, maybe nobody really in my life. But really, as a follower of Jesus, if we claim that we are, there ought to be people in our lives that are hearing what Christ has done for us.
Most definitely. We definitely need to come out of the closet. We've got to lift up Christ. He said in John 12:32, if I, even I, be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Now, it's going to be difficult for Christ to do his part if we're not doing our part. He said, lift him up and he will draw. Well, I'm presupposing that he's not drawing if I'm not lifting up. And so, you know, it's called the Great Commission, and sometimes it's become the Great Omission.
That
we as believers ought to be sharing the good news about Jesus Christ and every facet, every aspect of what he has done. He not only saved my soul, he put my marriage back together. He taught me how to raise my children so that now my children are contributors to society. They don't have to fall prey to the poor example of their father before his conversion, who was a drag and a drain on society. Man, what God is able to do through the person of Jesus Christ is just amazing. And why wouldn't we want to tell somebody how good he is? Here's what I tell people all the time. There's three things I like about God. Number one, he's good. Number two, he's good to me. And number three, he wants you to be good to me too. Amen, amen, and amen.
I got to remember number three. Okay. Well, I want to spend just a second here. We don't have long. When you do encounter opposition, because unfortunately all of us do sin from time to time, and when an unbeliever or somebody uses that to, in a sense, say, you're just like everybody else. I'm not coming to Christ because I see no difference. How do you counter that argument?
Well, I would point out any differences that Christ has made. Because you have to understand, it's relative. What do you mean relative? Go to a classroom, 40 students, same teacher, same text, same time, but different grades and outcomes. Mm-hmm. We're all on different levels. And so God is dealing with me very personally. Everything he does is designed for me. He's a designer God. And so I may not be where you think I ought to be, but let me share with you the growth that I've had. That's what I do.
I love that answer. With that, let's open our Bibles to Mark 2 and continue the message, Tear the Roof Off. Here's Pastor Ford.
You know, I have to find out what's going on. Right, so, right. You know, I go to this little corner gas station, and the guys come in, swishers, swishers, swishers. And I say, wait a minute, this many young people smoking cigars? Oh, you don't know, do you? You must be, and that's what he said, you must be a church person. I said, I used to push drugs. He said, well, the way we do it now is we take the tobacco out and we wrap our stuff in there. And so it smells, it takes away the strong, pungent smell. Look, everybody looking around like, yeah, that's right. I could have told you that, Pastor Ed. Go ahead, hold your hands up. Let me see anybody got any dark spots on their fingertips. Let me see now. Let's look at the, anybody got any holes in the shirt? Anybody got any holes in the shirt? This cat say to me, now, I don't smoke. You smell like reefer. I don't smoke. Let me see your fingers. Oh, you got a spot here and a spot here, and these are clean. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Oh, God forbid that me and my uncommitment would have such a poor testimony that I would keep somebody from getting to Jesus because I'm closer to him than they are. In proximity, but not in commitment. Wait, look, somebody say, he meddling now. Yeah. And notice in this text, people love to be around Jesus. It was the Pharisees they couldn't stand. You got to ask yourself, do people like being around me? We hear all the time, well, you know, I talk about Jesus, and that's why. It ain't why. That's not why. You got that nasty, toxic personality. If Jesus wasn't God, he wouldn't be around you. But you a Christian. Are you a Christian? I'm not denying that. And so Jesus drew crowds. Now, church, I got to admit to you, there's something wrong. Because here, Jesus drew a crowd. Now, you know there's two ways to grow. There's good growth and bad growth. This is good growth. And so any church that grows good, you have what it takes to make it grow good. What is that? It says Jesus preached the word to them. That's how a church ought to grow, based on the primacy of the preached word. No new and improve. I tell you all the time, I'm so glad that this Bible doesn't have an expiration date. It says he preached the word to them. Yeah. It was a miracle in the previous chapter that everybody got the buzzing about. Oh, but he preached the word to them. I'm going to talk about that in a minute after I show you what it says. It was noised. Now, why does it say it was noised? Why? Because we're having a conversation and we're talking about Jesus. And they're here, but we're not talking to them, but they hear it. It was noised abroad. In other words, they start talking about Jesus so much that people heard about and said, who is he? Jesus, Galilee? I never heard of him. Well, he right over there at Peter's crib. We all getting ready to go over there right now. Yeah, see what he up to. Bam, there they go. Off they go. They're there. There was noise abroad. Let me give you an example. When I was going to Bally's, you could tell I don't go anymore. Not just because it's closed, but I stopped going before it was closed. And that's why everything has shifted on me. But there was a pastor. His name is Tony Strotter. And we would go in the steam room. This is what we would do. We go in. You ready? Yeah. You done with your work? Yeah, I'm done. Okay, let's go. Let's hit the steam. We go in the steam be crowded. We can empty that steam room. Bam. I go in. I say, so Tony, tell me. You say you accepted Jesus Christ. What's that all about? I hear that all the time. Ain't it just about going to church? And then he would say, oh, no, Bo. It's not about going to church, man. See, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who died, was buried, and rose again the third day. Then he started telling about it. And I used to do this and this and that and the other and such, but he cleaned me up. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I say, he could do it for me because he did. Yeah, he said, can he do it for that guy right there? And then we point to somebody. And if the person was a believer, he'd say, he already did it for me. Praise the Lord, brother. Come on, get in this. But sometimes the guy would say, you say, oh, no, man, that ain't me. And then we start witness to him, and it could be you, you know, such, man, some guys would do this. They're coming into the steam room, open it, and see we're in there and turn right around. But it says it was noised abroad. And let me ask you a question. Who's hearing you talk about Jesus? Who's overhearing you share what Jesus has done in his person, in his power, in his plan, in his program, in his provision? Who is it that's hearing you? Somebody must not be talking. Why do you say that, Pastor Ford? Because this place is too empty. We got too many vacant seats. Yeah. Because somebody ought to be interested in finding out what's going on. Come check this out. Somebody said to me, how many people you have in your congregation? I said, I don't count people. And he said, well, that's tragic. I said, what do you mean that's tragic? I don't be like David, number folk. He said, well, let me tell you, I count. I said, why do you count? He said, I count people because people count. And I thought, whoa. Then he went on to say some other things like, if you got more people, you could do more ministry. Because generally more people means more money. And then I reminded him more people also mean more problems. But you get his point. Dr. R.A. Vernon said this, no church can be larger than God wants it to be, but most churches are smaller than God wants them to be. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, there's two ways to grow. There's good growth and there's bad growth. One time I twisted my ankle. That was not good growth. You can swell or you can grow. And there are churches in both categories. We just have to determine, what are we going to do? What are we doing to attract people? I sure hope it's only Jesus. I sure hope it's not games and gimmicks. Now, we want worship to be conducive, and we want people to be able to worship in freedom and all of those kinds of things. But the bottom line is John 12:32. Jesus said, if I, even I, be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. It's not my job to draw anybody. It's not your job to draw anybody. It's not your job to draw anybody. Your job to draw anybody. No, we are to attract attention to, show that he's altogether lovely. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. And then people are attracted to the Jesus in us, drawn like a moth to the flame, because there's something different about you and me than everybody else. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Yeah, somebody said, Pastor Ford, how much money do you want? Not one penny less than what God wants me to have. What do you want to accomplish in life? Not one thing less than what God wants me to do. What do you want to have in life? Not one thing less than God wants me to have. So how do you find out that everything that God wants you to have? I asked him for everything, knowing that he's going to give me the something that he wants me to have. That's what I do. Yeah. And so what do these guys teach us about getting somebody to Jesus? Here it is. You could tweet this. God's sovereignty does not negate human responsibility. Didn't we spend four Sundays talking about Joshua 1? Well, anybody remember the title of that message? Takers. I said, God gave him a promise and he said, take it. And that's what's happening here. These guys say, you know what? Man, I'm not going to let the adoration of the followers stop me. And listen, let me talk to somebody who was saying, you up in here today, but you've been hesitant because you've been looking at church folk that ain't living right and saying it's a reflection on Jesus. It is not. Because if every Christian falls, Jesus is still on the throne. If every preacher lies, Jesus is still on the throne. If no Christian lives the way they ought to, Jesus is still God in the flesh. If nobody is doing what they're supposed to do, Jesus still saves. It's all about Jesus.
All about him, and a good reminder of his sovereignty today. You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called Tear the Roof Off. It's from Mark chapter 2, and we'll get back to the teaching in just a moment. Hey, as you listen to this program, if there's ever a question that comes to mind, maybe about a certain passage of Scripture or how that applies to living out the Christian life, I hope you'll go ahead and ask your question. You can always do that by coming to treasuretruthradio.org and clicking on the contact link. Give us your feedback or ask your question that way, and who knows, we might just answer that question on a future broadcast. Well, let's get back to the message once again. From Mark 2, here's Pastor Ford.
Yeah, it's all about him. See, one of the ways that you know Jesus is in your church house, in your house where you live, or in your house of your body, somebody ought to be attracted to the Jesus in you. Now, let me tell you the problem. Maybe they're not attracted to the Jesus in you because there's still too much you in you. Go ahead. Say the enemy is the inner me. That's right. So Jesus is preaching. Now get this. The word is logos. And so he didn't have a completed canon of scripture. So he's talking about Genesis to Malachi. So Jesus is preaching. And here's what he teaches us right at the very beginning. What's this man's friend looking for him? A miracle. What's the first thing Jesus gives them? A message. Looking for a miracle, but giving the message. Why? Because of the primacy of preaching. because the message is more important than the miracle. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to underscore it. I'm going to show you in the Bible. What good is it to get your legs back and your arms back and still go to hell? Huh? I got to give him the message, because what did he preach? Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim the king. Jesus, Mark 1:14, and Jesus went into Galilee preaching. Jesus was a preacher. He proclaimed the word of God everywhere he went. That was his priority, the primacy of the preached word. We're living in a day where you don't need to preach. All you need is a dynamic praise team. All you need is a good choir. Now, I like those things. I was in the back and I heard those songs. And I said, oh, I love it. Oh, there was the new school and the old school. Something a little bit for everybody. And then the choir just wrecked out. And see, I don't need anybody to get my praise on. I don't need to be in church. Get my praise on. I do it all the time. I know y'all think I'm kidding. I'll stop my SUV in a moment, get outside, turn up the volume, and be bumping gospel, and get out and do me a dance. Hey, yeah. I told y'all I don't know how to do church dances. Yeah, the message is more important than the miracle. Yeah. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Let me read it to you real quick. I mean, it's in the Bible. Here's what he says about preaching. Now, more people say, you know, preaching has gone out of style. We doing all kind of things, drama and all. And of course, I already tell you, I'm creative. I like to do things. That's what this message is about, breaking out the box. Some of you need to tear the roof off. Yeah, that's right. You're making an excuse about not getting that education. You need to find a way. Tear the roof off. Some of you are making an excuse about your business. You can tear the roof off. Some of you make an excuse, we can't get this marriage together. I ain't even going. No, tear the roof off. Tear the roof off. Tear the roof off. In other words, find a way to get it done. So listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm sorry. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Why didn't they know you, God? For it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He said, they say, this is foolishness. Yeah, but God's saying, yeah, that foolishness is the same thing that saves. Now, I'm not against miracles. I believe in them. I live by them. I live by them. Oh, anything God has done, God can do. Anything God can do, God will do. If I got the faith, the currency of heaven, to activate the word of God, I can have it. Yeah. Notice secondly with me, and let me get you on out of here. Let's go on home. Notice verses 3-5. So in 1-2, he's saying, you've got to deal with the adoration of his followers. What's keeping them from it? Everybody's so packed around him. They are convening around him, but they're not committed to him. They're fair weather friends, and they keep the person from coming. But then notice, secondly, verses 3-5, the opposition to Jesus's favor. You've got to deal with the opposition to Jesus's favor. No, it says, and they came unto him. Who's him? And they came unto him. Who's him? Verse 3. Jesus, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Stop. What's the opposition to Jesus' favor? Listen, let me just say this to you now. You need to understand that whatever level you're on, that's the level of opposition that's going to come. Whatever level you want to go to at that level, that's the level of the opposition. Let me put it this way. If you just want to go to the second grade, you got second grade work. But if you want to make it to sixth grade, you got to do. In other words, that's the way it is in the kingdom. That's the way it is in the kingdom. See, here's the problem. Some of us want the opportunity but don't want to deal with the opposition, failing to understand that if you don't deal with the opposition, you can never have the opportunity. So here they are, and they're saying, we want to get him to Jesus. And there's opposition. What kind of opposition? People, places, things. People, places, things. People, places, things. Anytime you want to go to the next level, something's going to come against you in a people, place, or thing. And guess what? Depending on the level, you may get all three. They get all three. Can you imagine LeBron James saying to his coach, "Coach, tell them to quit trying to stop me from going down the court to get the ball in the hoop." Are you crazy? We pay you, and we're going to pay you in the next 3 years, $35 to $40 million to go through that opposition and put that ball in the hole. In the workforce, the better problems you solve, and the more you solve them, the more money you make. The more money you make. Everybody who has a job, you only have the job because the people who gave you the job have a problem. Once you are not solving their problem, do you know what you are? Unemployed. They do an evaluation to see how well you're solving my problem for the money I'm paying you. That's the way it is in the kingdom. And look at these guys. Man, they say, look, you know what? We're not going to let this opposition stop us. These men know that the solution to their friend's problem was not found anywhere but with Jesus.
You're listening to Treasure Truth, a message called Tear the Roof Off from Mark chapter 2, and really a helpful look at what for many of us is a very familiar passage. Well, if you want to make sure that you don't miss any of the future programs in the series, come to the website right now. Sign up to podcast the program, or you can get the Moody Radio app. By having the app, not only can you listen to Pastor Ford's Bible teaching program, but other programs produced by Moody Radio and internet music stations. You'll find links to the app when you come to treasuredtruthradio.org, or you can simply search for Moody Radio when you go to your favorite app store like Google Play or the iOS App Store. Hey, quickly before we go, also just want to mention that Treasure Truth is a listener-supported ministry, and that's exactly what it sounds like. Those who listen to this program and are benefiting from Pastor Ford's teaching give and support the program. I mean, that's how we stay on the air. We pay for airtime, production costs, and all the things that happen behind the scenes to make this broadcast program a reality. So if you're benefiting from Pastor Ford's teaching, if you tune in and you count this a regular part of your spiritual diet, I want to encourage you to give a gift today. We could use single one-time gifts and ongoing monthly gifts of support. And you can give either by coming to treasuredtruthradio.org and clicking on the donate button. Again, that's treasuredtruthradio.org and click on donate. Well, thanks for doing that and for listening today. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.